Thank you. Okay, today we are looking at Matthew chapter 14. As last week we discussed the first part of Matthew chapter 14. Today is the second part of Matthew chapter 14, where we are dealing with chapter verses 22 to 36. And the theme here is Peter walks on the water. In today's study, we shall look at the spiritual implication of the Lord and Peter walking on the waters of the sea. We shall also come to understand the spiritual meaning of the people of Nazareth getting healed as they touch the hem of Jesus' garment. So let's start with Jesus walking on the water. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And straight away, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the outer side while he sent the multitude away. The word straight away in verse 22 is to make us aware that it was immediately after the feeding of the 5,000 that Jesus constrained his disciples to go to the other side, where Jesus followed later. He showed us how the Lord worked as hard as a bull in fulfilling his ministry here on earth. Spiritually, this implies the zeal of the Lord to serve God and his elect. John chapter 2, verse 17. And his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thy house has eaten me up." According to Strong Dictionary, the word constrained can mean to compel by force. Therefore, the Lord constraining the disciples to get into a ship means that the Lord forced the disciples to get into the ship. This is to show us that we do not have free will as taught in the churches of this world. Yes, we do have a will, but our will is not free. It is caused. That is to say that it is the Lord who controls our will and all our actions. We therefore do not make decisions independent of the Lord. Even the sins we commit are caused by the Lord. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 17 says, "O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and harden our hearts from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake, the tribe of thy inheritance." Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps." Here in verse 1, the Lord constrained the disciples to get into a ship. A ship or boat is what causes us to journey through the sea without drowning. We know that the sea represents the flesh of humanity. This suggests that to an elect, the Lord drags us in this age to start this journey of overcoming the flesh as he comes to us with the spirit of his mouth and his brightness. All the multitude were sent away by the Lord to their various places on foot. As we have indicated in our studies of the book of Matthew, the multitude represents our brothers and sisters in the churches of this world who are not given to become overcomers of the flesh, of which we were part of at a certain stage of our walk. They are therefore not constrained by the Lord to overcome the flesh. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, "The disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. But whosoever has to him shall be given, and he shall know, he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has." Our lives as an elect here on earth can therefore be likened to traveling in a boat over the sea. That is overcoming the flesh, just as Jesus overcame the flesh in his life here on earth. Revelation chapter 32, verse 21. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. In the book of Mark, we learn that the other side, referred to in verse 22, is Bethsaida. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Jesus quickly made his disciples get into the boat and cross to Bethsaida ahead of him while he sent the people away. The name Bethsaida means house of fishing or simply fishing. As we know, when Jesus called Peter and Andrew, he told them that they shall be what? Fishers of men. We are called to fish for men. But before we can do this, we have to go to the other side. To get to the other side means we must overcome the flesh in this age in order to become saviors of the world or fishers of men. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 21. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. The boat is where the Lord's disciples were guarded in the midst of the sea. And it is what keeps us afloat on the sea. Our gathering or assembly is what helps us to become overcomers through what every joint supplies. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This mystery of how the Lord constrains us to get into the ship or boat as we overcome the pulls of the flesh is what Solomon mentioned as follows. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 19. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. The way of a man with a maid shows us the mystery of the Lord's unflinching love for his elect. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. This verse shows us that in spite of the ministry that the Lord has given to us, we must pay attention to our personal growth in Christ. As we see Jesus sending away the disciples and the multitude so he can pray. Any relationship without effective communication is bound to have problems. Our relationship with Christ must be nurtured to grow through personal prayers and the study of his words. The mention of the fact that Jesus was alone when evening came is to show us that this walk is a lonely one. Lonely in the sense that we are going contrary to the wind or the standards of this world. And therefore, not many people will agree with us regarding what the Lord is showing to us. In Paul's letters, we can see that he was lonely, as we see him telling Timothy to come to him as the whole of Asia had departed from him. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogen. The Lord gives mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my shame. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. 2 Timothy 4, 9 to 11 says, do thou diligence to come shortly unto me. I mean, he's talking about Timothy. For Demas has forsaken me, having left this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Matthew chapter 14, verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. As the Lord constrains us to start this journey of overcoming the flesh in this life, he raises storms in our lives to bring us to our safe haven, to become overcomers as the flesh is destroyed through the Lord. That is the same as saying that we become overcomers as the flesh is destroyed through the Lord's judgment. Psalm 107, verse 23 to 31 clearly shows us what it means to journey on the sea. They that go down to the ship, to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commanded and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, and they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble, and they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Just as the disciples were at their wits' end. He makes the storm. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he brings them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The wind being contrary in verse 24 implies that our walk with Christ in this life is in opposition to the standards of this world. As the Lord indicated in his words, going against the standards of this world means being renewed in our minds. The boat being thrown around by the waves because it was going against the wind indicates that it is because the Lord wants us to go against the standard of this world. That is why he raises a storm in our lives to judge us. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that he present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25 says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. A little while before morning, the Lord Jesus came to his disciples by walking on the sea. The dawning of the morning is when the day star, which is Christ, begins to rise in our hearts. That is the beginning of our understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the day star arise in your heart. To walk on the sea means to overcome the pulls of the flesh in our walk with Christ. Jesus going to his disciples as he walked on the water is to show us, his elect, that as our understanding is lightened, we are given to know that we can also overcome the pulls of the flesh in this life through Christ. It is also to show us that because he has overcome, we too shall overcome the flesh. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Matthew 14, verse 26 and 27. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Why were the disciples troubled? It was because since creation, no human being has been able to walk on the water. Therefore, it must have been a spirit. Indeed, they were not far from the truth in the sense that it is those who walk in the spirit who do not fulfill the desires of the flesh or walk. That means walking on the water of the sea. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18 says, "This I say, then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law." It is also important to note that Jesus coming to the disciples walking on the water during the storm is to show us that the fiery trials we go through are to strengthen us to walk on the water, that is to overcome the flesh. When Christ comes to us whilst we are undergoing fiery trials or storm, we do not immediately recognize his presence. That is to say, that we do not appreciate that what we are going through is the Lord establishing his kingdom within us. The Lord, in his mercy, however, reassures us of his presence to let us know that we are on course and that we should not be afraid. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Matthew chapter 14, verse 28 and 29. "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." The verses above show us that the only way we are assured of the presence of the Lord in our lives is when we are able to walk on the water just like Peter did. I mean, if we say we are elect and all that, and sin is so attractive to us, then we are failed. But when we know that, you know, sin is, the pool of the flesh is getting, lesser and lesser, then we know, yes, the Lord is with us. That is what this Peter asking is, that if it is you, then let me come to you, that we also walk on the water. That is all what it means. So as we indicated, walking on the water of the sea is overcoming the pools of the flesh in our lives. That is the same as walking in the spirit and not fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Again, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. "This I say, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye are led of the spirit, you are not under the law." Matthew chapter 14, verse 30 and 31. "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt?" When our focus is turned from Christ to our circumstance, we start to yield to the desires of the flesh, and therefore we become afraid, just like Peter. It is instructive to note that Adam yielded to the woman to eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. As a result, he became afraid when Jesus came into the garden looking for him. This scenario is the same as what Peter went through when he focused from the Lord into the goodness of eating the, in pleasing his wife Eve. Then, of course, you will get into sin, and then he became afraid. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9 to 11. And the Lord called, and the Lord God called unto Adam and saying, and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I've heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Just as Peter was afraid when he started to sink, because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? What happened to Peter is what we have experienced or are experiencing in our walk with Christ. This is what Peter said about the Galatian church. Paul said about the Galatian church, which applies to us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7 to 9. It did run well. You know, Peter initially was walking on the water. He was overcoming the flesh. So he did run. We all did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that called you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4 says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you, this only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. Indeed, Peter did run well whilst he was walking on the water, focusing on Jesus. It was when he turned his focus to the boisterous wind that he became afraid. The boisterous wind, in this case, can represent false doctrines, which when we imbibe, it takes us away from Christ, and we begin to sink in the sea of flesh. In other words, we are overcome by the flesh. Ephesians 4:14 talks about the fact that the wind is can be no force of it. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind. So the wind that the boisterous wind that Peter was focusing on is spiritually the law false doctrines. With every wind of doctrine by the seat of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. In verse 30 and 31, the Lord stretched forth his hand to rescue Peter when he cried out to Jesus to save him. These verses assure us that the Lord will not let in saving us. In other words, he who has begun a good work in us will not leave us alone, but will come to us to see to its completion. Even through our failures and all that, he's there to save us, stretch forth his hand to save us. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus addressing Peter as having little faith is to reveal to us that it is through faith that we can overcome the pools of the flesh, or walk on the water. Our walk with Christ is a walk of faith. And when we compromise our faith, we yield to the desires of the flesh. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, 32 to 35 says, and what shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, or Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith they subdue kingdoms. The kingdom of the evil one in our hearts subdued through faith, wrought righteousness. So our righteousness is based on faith in Christ's righteousness. obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, the devil. The mouth of lions, stopping the mouth of lions means shutting down false doctrines of the evil one. Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the army of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. And that's what we are hoping for, a better resurrection, the first resurrection. Matthew chapter 14, verse 32 and 33. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. As indicated previously, the ship is where the disciples had gathered, and therefore the ship in this case signifies the assembly of the Lord's elect. Peter leaving the ship to initially walk on the water means that when we neglect our fellowship with our brothers and sisters, we initially think we are all right because we think our Lord Jesus has called us to a higher calling of walking on the water. However, this walking on the water or overcoming the flesh will not last as long as we neglect the fellowship of the Lord's elect. The boisterous wind of false doctrine will eventually sink us in the depth of the sea when we leave fellowship. Or the ship. The fact that I think a friend of mine said that, you know what fellowship means? Fellows in a ship. The fact that Peter asks the Lord if he could come to him is to show us that even our failures are the works of the Lord to bring us to our safe haven. Isaiah 63:17 says, O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and harden our hearts from thy fear? Return for thy servants' sake, the tribes of thy inheritance. It is insightful to note that when Jesus rescued Peter and brought him to the ship where the disciples were, the wind ceased. The season of the wind implies that it is in our gathering that the hail of the truth of the Lord's words destroy all the false doctrines or the lies of the enemy. Isaiah 28:17. Judgment also I lay to the lion and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. That is why we are admonished by the Lord not to neglect our assembling together as we see the day approaching. The day approaching in its present application means the coming of Christ into our boat to bring us to our safe haven. Just as the disciples, it happened to the disciples. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Again, we are made aware in verse 33 that they who were in the ship came and worshiped the Lord. It is in our assembly that we worship the Lord in truth and in spirit. The disciples say that Jesus is truly the Son of God is to show us that it is in the fellowship of the Lord's elect that we come to know who Christ really is, that is the Son of God. Knowing him as the Son of God means that we have come to appreciate the fact that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, and that it is through him that everything consists or is sustained, and that it pleases the Father that in Jesus should dwell all fullness. That is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 19. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Jesus heals the sick in Nazareth. Matthew chapter 14, verse 34 to 36. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out unto all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. The disciples finally came to the land of Gennesaret, which means a harp. This brings to mind Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, verses 1 and 2, which talks about the Lord's elect as harpers with their harps, praising the Lord. That scenario depicts the victory of the Lord's elect after their journey through the raging waters of the sea of flesh in this life, which accords with the study. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1 to 4. And I looked, and lo, a lamp stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of the great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man can learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the Lord. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. In verse 35 and 36, people from all the country round about that area brought all who were diseased, and they were healed as they touched the hem of Jesus' garment. What does the hem of, or the border of Jesus' garment signify? We know that garments represent righteousness, and therefore the people wanting to touch the hem of Jesus' garment show us how the Lord will humble humanity to seek after his righteousness in the lake of fire age, where they will be made perfectly whole. You know, this will be done in the presence of the Lord's elect, represented here as the Lord's disciples, just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fire with the Lord and were not burnt. Daniel chapter 3, verse 23 to 25. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then the wicked Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste and spoke and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, truly, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. May the Lord continue to constrain us in the boat so that we can reach the other side through his mercy. Amen.